and Rav Jonas and Abishitz in the community of Ahu, of Altoona, Hamburg, Wandsbek. So that community at that time was under the sovereignty of the King of Denmark. And the Danish king was brought into the Machlokas to decide which rabbi was right. Now, if you look at it with any objectivity, it is ludicrous for the Danish king, no matter how, no matter how much cherry herring he drank, to know whether Rav Jonas and Abishitz was writing secret kameyas with the Shabtai Tzvi in it or not. And nevertheless, he became the arbiter. And the Danish king, like all governments, came squarely down on both sides of the question. First evicting Rav Jonas and Abishitz from his position, and then later, when enough political pressure and one can imagine probably Michael Deaver infiltrated the court a little, and they paid a little money, so then they brought back Rabbi Anderson Abishitz and they expelled Rabbi Yank of Emden. Very bad precedent. But that is nothing compared to what's going to happen here in Russia. And it's going to happen for the next 100 years. But the gate was open to this terrible debacle by the acts of the Misnagdim against the Chassidim, and then the Chassidim retaliated in kind, and by the time both of them wisened up, the Maskilim came along, and then the entire matter was always in the hands of the Russian government. The Russian government, from the Romanov czars, from the middle of the 1700s onward, took an active interest in the Jewish population. And that was not healthy and not good for the Jews. They took a very active interest because of the fact that they were motivated to solve the Jewish problem. And the Jewish problem was that the Romanovs felt there were too many Jews in Russia. And even though the Jews in Russia held no official governmental posts, were not represented in the upper classes, it was not like the situation of the Jews in Germany at the time of when reform became very successful. The Jews in Russia nevertheless had the enmity of the Russian peasant, which was the class of people whom they dealt with on a constant basis. The Jews were mostly in trades, professions isn't the word, in trades or in commerce that dealt with the Russian peasant. The Jews looked down upon the Russian peasant. The Russian peasant was unlettered. A great many of them were permanently alcoholic. They were violent. And the Jew who felt himself above the Russian peasant in all these matters conveyed his contempt to the Russian peasant. And the Russian peasant, who was deeply religious, terribly superstitious, and frightened above all of the Jewish devil, responded always in kind in periodic outbreaks of violent anti-Semitism. The Romanov czars used the Russian peasant to prosecute their Jewish policy. And the policy would come to fruition a generation later, when Tsar Alexander I would take direct action against the Jewish, for the first time, against the Jewish population in Russia. And the Tsar, policy of the Russian government later would be explained as being one-third extermination, one-third assimilation, and one-third emigration. That is how the Russian government proposed to solve the problem of having so many Jews within its territory.